It's Eversource.
Yes.
Okay. When you're in Connecticut, you hear Eversource, you just kind of cringe.
Yeah.
You may get mad.
Your blood goes cold.
Ugh. Yes. They want to screw us again.
Yeah, we're an Eversource of money for them.
And our protector of the screwing is Attorney General William Tong, who's on the phone now. Good morning.
They're out of their freaking minds.
Nice.
Out of their minds.
That's the quote.
Exactly. Right.
And we are going to unload everything we've got. They wanted an additional $340 million on top of what they're asking for. And I've already preliminarily stopped that. So we're going to block $340 million. But then they want like another $800 million. No way.
Jeez.
This is insanity.
It
you
is.
Know, and we go through this cycle where they ask, I think they have a formula. If they want half of, let's say if they want a billion, they say we want 500 million.
Yeah.
And then we want a billion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. They play games.
Right. They ask for more than what they want.
Right.
They get half of what they ask.
And you're in the middle. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Renegotiate my contract in 5 years.
Right.
Thank you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if they want a half a million, they ask for a million, they get a half a million. Everybody feels like they're winners when they walk away.
Yeah.
And they cry poverty. They cry poverty, except look at their stock price. It's up 14% year over year. For the last 3 or 4 years, they've been increasing, juicing their dividends to their shareholders. Wall Street is killing it on Eversource. You guys aren't poor. Come on.
No.
So what is really going on here?
So they're supposed to come in regularly and ask for, you know, whatever they want their rates to be. It's called coming in for a rate case. They haven't done it in 8 years. And that's on them. And I think the reason why they haven't done it is because they're making plenty of money and they didn't need to raise their rates. But now I don't know why.
I thought they did raise. Didn't they raise their rates last year? The year before?
Yeah, actually, yes, their rates go up, but that's based on, you know, the price of things going up. So the cost of natural gas, the cost of generation, not their percentage rates, like what they're able to charge us, right?
Didn't they ask us for a big increase a few years back after all the trees fell and knocked the power out? And they said, we need it for tree trimming. And I'm thinking, that's called the cost of business.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's called maintenance.
Well, here's the problem. First of all, we beat back a lot of those requests. But here's the problem. It's a monopoly. And what the law says is they are entitled to recover their costs for like big storms and a reasonable rate of return, which everybody more or less agrees to, right? Sure. Okay. You have a lot of people working out there, the linemen, and who, by the way, do a great job for us.
They're the real heroes of this company.
The heroes.
The workers.
Right. And nobody's saying you don't pay the workers, that they shouldn't be paid a fair wage, or they shouldn't have good salary and benefits. But the problem is these rates just keep going up and up and up, and we can't bear an 18% increase.
No.
No way.
No.
Nobody can afford
that. So they're looking for a 9% increase if they're asking for 18, right?
I think they're looking for 18, guys.
Oh.
I think they,
okay.
I think.
And didn't we, like, couldn't there be an argument that we made a bad deal with them with the nuclear power plant?
I don't think that's fair. And the reason why it's not fair is because we kind of had no choice. Now, I voted against it when I was in the legislature, but the nuclear power plant accounts for half of our power. So we sort of had no choice, right? They made an offer we couldn't refuse.
Hmm.
It accounts for 50% of our power. And there are times when that deal is a good deal, when nuclear power is cheaper than all the other power, right? Like natural gas.
All right. You know what the perception is? I don't mean to cut you off, but you know what the perception is for regular people like me?
Yeah.
That you guys go to these parties together, you're standing there and you're friends, and you work out these deals, and then you fight in public, but behind the scenes, Not you. You're the attorney general, but the legislature and the.
I don't think I'm getting invited to any party.
No, yeah. I know you were on the show once, trashing a bank, and then you had to go and speak, on, you know, with them.
Oops.
At an event, it was awkward for you. But no, you're the attorney general. But you know what I mean. The people in Hartford, the legislature, they go to these parties.
They're all in bed together.
They're all in bed together.
Yeah.
And then out in front of the camera, they say whatever.
Harumph. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I watched the commercial of the governor who's running for governor. He'll win. We know it. But he's like rolling up his sleeves in the commercial saying, I'm fighting the energy company. I'm like, you had 8 years.
Right.
You know, like, where was this fight? I didn't see. Did anyone see a fight?
Right. Now you're rolling your sleeves
up. Didn't see anyone get punched.
No.
Like, ever so. I saw us get punched.
Yeah, we got hit.
There was a fight.
We got our asses kicked. Yeah, exactly right.
You know, so yeah. I don't know. I see the sleeves rolling up. I'm like, this is good theater.
I'm not going to lie to you. They've got tons of lobbyists, tons of juice in Hartford. And, yeah, it does feel like the deck is stacked against us. And I go in there and I, you know, I fight as hard as I can with my team of lawyers. And we've stopped more than $700 million in rate increases that they wanted. If you add this last $340 million, it's over $1 billion since I became attorney general. But that doesn't mean that the rates don't go up, as you said.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, let me also say this. If it were easy, we would have fixed it already.
Right.
And so to be fair to everybody on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, when you're beholden to one nuclear power plant for 50% of your power, right? And then the rest of it is natural gas. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's tough. But you're right. That it still means that we can't afford it. And the company that's stock price is going up 14% and is pushing money back to shareholders and dividends and is making a gazillion dollars. It doesn't need more money.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I
agree enough. With you. Yeah.
Before we let you go, Attorney General William Tong was nice enough to come out to our lawn cast.
Yeah.
And what was your take on that?
It was hot.
It was hot.
Hot in a good way.
It was so hot.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
A lot of good people. Then there were a few.
There are a few people who needed to hydrate more.
Okay.
They were hydrating with the wrong things.
Maybe eat a bagel or something just to soak it all up.
Soak up the alcohol.
Take a nap.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Take a nap. With the windows open.
Right.
Right. There were two. And I know who you're talking about. It's Boston John.
Yep.
And Ricky Smith.
Yep.
Yeah. Those two guys. It's those two.
The toxic twins.
They're the toxic twins. They're the new toxic twins. That's it.
The Hammered brothers.
Yeah, no, they're toxic twins.
Yes.
Yeah, Ricky brought his own jar of mystery liquid.
Oh,
we were all like, this is going to be bad.
The Gatorade.
Attorney General.
Yeah, I saw a big jar, like a big, like.
Oh, it got smaller.
Canning jar. Like, yes.
That was the refuel tank.
That was the refueler.
Yeah, that was his Eversource.
Well, he was going straight to the refuel tank. Yes. It wasn't like he was pouring in another vessel.
Did you have any of that mystery liquid?
No, that was a work day.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. I like how he says, hey, if I didn't have to go to work.
Exactly.
I would have been with those guys.
Yeah.
Well, I would have been in the back seat. Yeah. With
shades down. Let's go to McDonald's, man. Yeah.
Tie off.
So when do you choose the next lawn location?
Lawn cast?
Oh, yeah. No, we're toy drive and monster ball focused now. Yeah. So it'll be probably January, February. We start talking about that.
Yeah.
But Attorney General William Tong, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate you fighting for us.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Stay cool.
All right. You too. Mike Cirilli's on. Uh-huh. He's the political reporter over at News 8. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Yes.
Now, we have you on for a different fight, not the Eversource fight, but the speed camera fight.
I was listening to you yesterday talk about this. You actually gave me an idea.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate you for.
Oh, great. What was the idea?
The idea was, you know, when they wrote this law a few years ago in the legislature, it allowed towns to start putting these in. There was some language discussed that basically municipal vehicles, right, the vehicles the town owns, and you can recognize those because they typically, the license plates first of all, they say municipal at the bottom of
yeah.
But they're also, like, I live in Trumbull. It'll be like, you know, one TR will be like some high-ranking town official's car. So you can recognize them on the street.
Yeah. It'll be the letter first,
right.
The town abbreviation first, and then the mayor gets one.
Yeah.
And then so I always see, like, if I see 36, I'm like, oh, you're 36 down on the totem pole.
I feel bad for number
yeah.
two.
Yeah.
So I could be wrong about this. I'm like a nerd about the special license plates that politicians and government officials get, because I think it just says so much about them, the ones that choose to use those and the ones that don't.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the legislature, I think Vinny Candelora mentioned this yesterday, they get these special plates that aren't even like Connecticut license plates. They say legislature on them, and then they have their district number. And I will say, you know, as a political reporter, I try not to judge any politician. I try not to take any sides. I do sort of judge them for the ones that choose to use it versus the ones that choose not to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyways, they basically, the way the rules are written is, you know, if it's a police car responding to an emergency or an ambulance or a fire truck, whatever, and they're in emergency mode, they are not going to get, you know, they're supposed to not get fined by these cameras. But for the most part, if it's just a regular municipal vehicle and it happens to get picked up, the town gets billed for it. That's kind of how it would be baseline, right? And I'm curious to sort of go town by town and see what their policies are, because, you know,
dude, that's the story.
Damn, man.
Yeah. So see what their records are. You can do Freedom of Information Act requests. And so there's a few questions. One would be sort of what's your policy, right? Obviously, the town's not going to pay its own fine, right? That wouldn't make much sense because the revenue is going back to the town anyways. But are there employee sort of rules that says, hey, if you're a public works guy or if you're one of these politicians and you have one of these plates, do you have to pay it? Does some mark go against you in your personnel file if it happens more than once or twice?
Yeah.
Or are these guys just driving through these cameras going more than 10 miles over the speed limit and nothing's happening?
How big is the list in each town?
Yeah.
And who's on it?
Exactly.
So this is also like a huge, before these cameras, this is sort of a issue that journalists cover with city government and state government to some extent. They're called take-home cars. So city by city, there are some cities that they give a lot of officials these take-home cars. There's some that are really tight about it. So it depends, I would think, on the town and how liberal they are with their take-home car policy, because then you have more of these cars on the road more of the time.
Here's another thing you could do is the people who voted yes for these cameras,
uh-huh.
are they getting a free pass?
Right.
And can we get the number of times they got a free pass?
Right.
Like, okay, you're speeding through this.
Right.
You're not paying the money.
No.
The rest of us are. You voted yes on it.
Yeah.
That's a real bad look. And then the other thing is, like, the mayor's wife. This one's landscaper.
Right.
This one's whatever.
Friends and friends, yeah.
Are they just, you know, are politicians walking that in and saying, hey, this one, let's toss this one.
Right.
Well, look, I mean, anecdotally, you do hear stories that someone who's connected to government, they have an ability to, you know, kind of make a phone call and get rid of a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
Interestingly, with the legislative license plates, and this actually was a story that I looked into during the legislative session. Someone came to me with this story. I looked into it. I didn't actually have the time, because I'm, you know, doing a TV story every day, to fully flesh it out, because it was very complicated. And I actually told this guy, I said, hey, there's another reporter who will have the time because of the way his job works. You should talk to him. What was happening was this guy had been a very senior official in Lowell Weicker's administration. And because of that, there's this whole spoiled system in state government where if you're like the governor's buddy, you can get, they call them low number plates. So if you ever see someone driving around with just a regular Connecticut license plate and it's a 2 or 3 digit number, that person knows a politician, either current or former, you know, Jody Rell or Dan Malloy or Ned Lamont. So this guy has the plate. It was 3 digits. And he was getting these traffic tickets tolls from New York State tolls. And he's like, you know, he's fairly elderly, and he's like, I don't drive to New York State as often as these tolls I'm getting. So he looks it up, and he goes, wait a minute. My number, my 3-digit number, is the same as the district number of a state representative who has one of those legislative plates. so the camera that was tolling him was picking up the number, 145, and was sending the bills to him and not to the state representative, because those legislative license plates, they're not actual license plates. They're like kind of cover plates.
Yeah.
And your car still has an actual license plate that's like with the DMV. You know, their registry has your actual license plate on it. So I'm curious if state legislators are driving through these things and they're not even getting the bill for it, because these cameras have the same flaw in their system.
That's bananas.
Can I get a plate?
This is, it's such a corrupt system.
Yeah.
And I saw how many people went out in Fairfield last night. Hundreds.
Yeah.
That government's going to be tossed. They're all going to be thrown out.
Yeah. Gotta make noise.
And this is what we got to do. We've got to be pissed about this, because it will, it's going to eat us alive. They will not stop.
Seriously.
It's like the Terminator.
Yeah.
It will not stop.
It'll be every road.
Mike, well, you're the guy.
Yeah.
You are the guy.
Good dude.
I think it's important for people to remember this. It's like, there's automatic speed cameras. There's red light cameras. There's, and I think Vinny Candelora made this point yesterday with the work zone cameras, which, you know, some of these things, look, nobody wants there to be crime or people that are driving stupid, right? There's also the flock cameras, which are license plate reading cameras that they don't track speed, but they track license plates looking for stolen cars. In the last 10 years, there's been this just massive spread of the amount of cameras that watch what you do. And again, as a journalist, I don't take stances on political issues, but I think every journalist, every good journalist, is like a little bit uncomfortable with the whole Big Brother thing, because you start putting these cameras up, you're building kind of a network of surveillance. It makes it that much easier for bad actors in government to do something abusive with that. I mean, we've heard kind of stories.
When are you guys in sweeps now?
Honestly, I hope my bosses are listening to this. I don't know.
Okay. This is a series for you, by the way, because everyone is pissed about it. Not just people that live in the towns.
Yeah.
People who drive through the towns.
Yeah.
There's enough towns for us all to be pissed.
Yes.
I have a million questions, by the way, about this, because this is the biggest sham ever. And none of these people who voted it in, or their spouses or their friends, are paying.
No, they're not getting hit. No.
No. No one's. They're not paying. We're all paying.
Yeah. Ain't right.
Dude, this is a series of during sweeps.
Right.
You got to start working on it now.
Well, there's a third thread.
Then I got to go.
Can I give you a third thread?
Yeah, quickly.
Look at the numbers that these towns are collecting. Every story about, when you talk about Middletown, they'll say, we've collected X million dollars in bills, and it's generated X million dollars in revenue. The vendors that operate these cameras are making a ton of money off this.
Oh, yeah. $15 a pop.
Yep.
Huge business. Huge business.
Yeah, and where are they contributing to campaigns?
Right.
There's so many layers of story. This is a story that will just keep giving.
Yep.
Mike Cerulli, News 8. Thanks, man. You're the guy.
My boss just said November.
November.
Okay, cool.
Sorry.
He was listening.
You just testing.
You know that, Stacey.
He was just testing.
Stacy, he knew that.
He knew. Just testing you.
Yeah.
He passed.
Mike Cerulli, News 8. Thank you, brother.